hearts are full with thanksgiving. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that as we go into the word, our hearts are receptive to receive the truth of your word. Our hearts are receptive to receive your word. There is no confusion as the truth of God. Is taught. There is no confusion as truth of God's word is taught. Truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with precision. And at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah, so we are just in that series we've been on since November, and it's been a long journey. It's been a long journey. We're examining the topic generosity. And like I always say, when it comes to giving, it's one of the most controversial conversations among saints and non-saints. Yeah, when it comes to giving, you know. And some people, because of the passion they have for people who don't give right, they end up overflogging a narrative. And it's almost as though they're saying that, you know, don't give to the church. Don't give to the church. You rather go and open an NGO. Things. Now, there is a place for that, you know, but like I would always say, a saint who doesn't give to the church is in disobedience to scriptures. Yeah, let me say it better. A saint who doesn't give, you know, to other saints or amongst brethren as saints, you are in total disobedience to scriptures. So we've tried to examine a couple of these things, and we're going to examine one very crucial aspect of giving today. Know one very crucial aspect of giving today. I want you all to just listen and follow attentively. You know, it's something I have held on for a while. I've held on for a while not to teach about it. But I think we'll just teach it. It's God's word. We just have to teach it. It's the truth. Yeah, you know. And for instance, we've gone through topics like the tithing. Is that true? We've gone through tithing. We've gone through first fruits. Yeah. We've been able to establish from God's word that, you know, the practice of tithing and first fruit was a means of communicating God's word or God's truth, yeah, by Moses. Yeah, and we saw that the first fruit speaks of who? A person, Christ Jesus. We saw that the tithing speaks of a person, Christ Jesus, Malachi 3. We've explained that. Malachi 3, when it says, bring your tithes to the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. And we've seen that to be who? Christ Jesus, you know, to be the person. Yeah, we've done teachings on that to explain these things, you know. But there's still so much we need to talk about concerning giving, you know. And today we're looking at one very crucial aspect. Look, give me 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1 first. Chapter 9, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. So Paul is saying that when it comes to the giving to the saints, it is important for me to write to you. So when it means that teaching is should be a topic for the New Testament church. Are we together? What did I just say? I'm sorry. No, that's all of you looking at me. I'm like, what did I say? Yeah. Giving is a topic that should be taught in the New Testament church. Yeah, we've looked at examples in scriptures how they give. So Paul is saying, for us touching the ministering to the saints, yeah, we're able to establish that that word they're ministering has to do with service, rendering service. So a good way to read that would be, for us touching the service to the saints, and he's speaking about material money or material things. Yeah, from the previous chapter. So for us touching the ministry to the saints, this ministry to the saints here is not about laying on of hands. Are we here? Yeah. So it's not about laying on. So a good way to read that really is, for us touching the giving to the saints. How do we know he's speaking about giving? He says, it is important for me to write to you. Look at what it says in verse 2. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Asia was ready a year ago, and your zeal had provoked very many. So the church in Corinthians were used to giving, but there was something Paul was doing to them in this book. He was using an example of a church and their giving ability or their giving expression to teach the Corinthians something. However, he acknowledges that he knows that the Corinthians have an eagerness to give. Look at chapter 8, verse 1. He says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed upon on the churches of Macedonia. Right? Now, what is Paul about to speak about? What is Paul about to speak about from that verse? is about to speak on the grace, or is about to speak of the grace of God on the churches of Macedonia. Is that true? Yeah. So he's about to teach about God's grace. Yeah, see what it says in verse 2. Never forget, God's grace is what he's teaching about. How that in a great trial of affliction, yeah, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. You know, I'll say it again. The word there, deep, before poverty, is not a what? Figure of speech. Yeah, that deep poverty means abject poverty. Yeah, so who is he speaking about? The churches of Macedonia. What is he speaking about? The grace of God on their lives. Let me say it again. Who is Paul teaching about? What is he speaking about? Now, what did he say about the grace of God upon their life? How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of liberality. So the grace of God is teaching about in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is about how they abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Now, were the churches in Macedonia poor? No. Were they poor? Were they poor? Okay. Were they very poor? So they were strongly poor. They were extremely poor. So it means that there is nothing like because you are a Christian, you will not be poor. Is that true? Yes. Paul teaches that in the Bible. There's nothing like because I serve God all my life. So see, look at it. When you're singing that song, all my life you have been faithful. You know, you have to know where you put your mind on or where you put your mind. I would always say, a teaching that tells you that you, if you serve God, you will not suffer is a false teaching. Look at the churches of Macedonia. Paul did not scold them for not teaching God's word. So it means that they were teaching God's word. Right? They were teaching God's word, yet they were in deep poverty. Are we together? You know, like I would always say, it is evidently put forth to us in Nigeria the extent of poverty in the country. It is also evidently put forth to us in Nigeria the number of churches in the country. Yeah, I want to believe that there's no other country that has as much churches as Nigeria in the world. I want to believe that. Yeah, and I want to also believe that there are only fewer countries that are poorer than Nigeria. Are we together? Yeah, if you think of a country that has money today, one of the first countries that will come to your mind is oil countries, Dubai. Are they worshiping God? Even you said that you're a Christian here. When you go to Dubai, they worship to meet on Friday, not Sunday. Sunday, you go to work. So we have an example in scriptures that churches, so Paul did not say, I speak to you concerning the church in Macedonia. He said churches. So it means that we can have a combination of churches that are in deep poverty. Yet, there's the grace of God upon their life. What is the grace of God upon their life in reference to? In the fact that they were able to abound unto the riches of liberality. What does that really mean? No matter how poor they were able to give. So no matter how poor a saint is, he's able to give. Why are you able to give? Not because you have money in your account, on your pocket, but because you have the grace of God on you. Are we together? Now, so he says, how that in a great trial of affliction. Now, firstly, he tells us that the churches were in trials of afflictions. But no matter how rich a saint is, no matter how poor a saint is, he has the riches of ability of liberality in him. But the difference is that not too many people, not everybody, are bound towards that riches. Are we together? Yeah? So now, when you give with your needs in mind, you are doing an investment. When you give with the needs of others in mind, you are bounding towards the riches of liberality. Now, take note, Paul did not tell them in this scripture that those churches that are poor, don't manage, they don't know the unction of my life. They don't know how to tap. Say grace. They don't know how to tap. Grace. They don't know the mysteries behind the wealth of the believer. Oga, there is nothing like wealth of the believer. The only wealth of the believer is the spirit in you. Yeah? Most Christians in Nigeria are in abject poverty. Let me say better. Most Christians who have been Christians for 20, 30 years are in abject poverty. The land is poor. Why is it so? Because the currency and the flow of wealth is determined by men. Men determine how money flows, not God. It didn't start today. it started in those days. So Paul did not say that, those people, see the grace of God upon their life. They were just abounding in wealth. Hallelujah. What did he say about the grace of God? They abounded to the riches of their liberality. Why did he say that? Look at verse 9. Verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the same grace he was speaking about in verse 1 is the same grace speaking about in verse 9. What does he say about the grace? How that though he was rich, for your sakes he was poor. He became poor that you through his poverty might be rich. This is one of the scriptures that most of us hold on to. Yeah, he was poor so I might be rich. Yeah, I will have money. That is not a proper interpretation to that scripture. Simple questions we ask. Where was Jesus rich? Who has a Bible verse to show where Jesus was rich in the Bible? Okay, let me say it better. Who has a Bible verse to show where Jesus was materially rich in the Bible? Okay, nobody. Let me ask another question. Who knows his Bible verse that says, as Jesus was going to the cross, he was giving out, he was doing giveaway? Who has a scripture that shows that? Why didn't he do giveaway? He didn't have what to give away. So, the narrative of he was rich, so you can be poor. The riches is in his eternal existence. Yeah? The fact that he was God is riches. Yeah? The fact that he became man is poverty. So, if you read chapter 5 before, he says that what? For he who knew no sin was made sin, that you might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So, what is the riches? You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So, he became poor, that you might be rich through his poverty. It is in the fact that Jesus became a man, yeah, for your sins, yeah, upon believing that you've received of God's riches. What is God's riches? His spirit in you. What is God's riches? His everlasting life in you. So every Christian on earth is a rich man. Is that true? What did I really say? Every Christian on earth, before you are a Christian, it is because you've received the Holy Ghost. So every man who has received the Holy Ghost is a Christian. So every Christian on earth is a rich man. Spiritually speaking. Is that true? Yeah. But not every Christian on earth are rich, materially speaking. Yeah. So the poverty that Jesus gave himself through so that you can be rich is in reference to the fact that we are now his righteousness. Lift your hand and say, I'm God's rich man. I'm God's rich man. I think we paid attention to that last week. Yeah. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So there's a tendency for saints to be, that's why we keep saying something. When you go out for evangelism, don't tell people, come to Christ, all your needs will be met. It's not entirely true. Even yourself, most of us that were even saying that in self, not all our needs are met. A lot of us will say that, you know. So one thing that will help is his ability to be sincere with himself. It's easy to live in deceit. It's easy to live in lie. One thing that will help you as a saint and help me as a saint is the ability to what? Be very sincere. See, a lot of us need more sincerity than more study in God's word. Let me say better. We all need more study in God's word. But a lot of people first need sincerity before studying more of God's word. Now, with what Paul is teaching, never forget, he became rich or he became poor so that he might be rich. What did he call that riches in verse 2? Riches of what? Go back to verse 2. So that you might be rich. He has already told you what the rich is in verse 2. They are bounded unto the riches of liberality. Hallelujah. What did he call it in verse 1? The grace of our Lord Jesus. The grace of God. Now, it's important to know that God meets the needs of other people through other people, right? We explained that on Sunday last week when Paul says, Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. What is riches in glory in verse 2 of this verse? Yeah, so riches of liberality in 2 Corinthians 8 is equal to riches in glory in Philippians 4. Now, but there's something important I want us to take note of today. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. Let's read together as a family. Are we ready? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Speaking about elders, right? Yeah, elders which are among you. Look at verse 2. Hold on. Who is to feed the flock? The elders from verse 1. Yeah? So the elders are to feed. So the instruction in 1 Peter 5 verse 1 to is to the elders. What is the responsibility of the elders? Feed the flock of God which is among you. So it means that among saints, we have the flock of God and we have the elders. The elders also are part of the flock of God. But we have the elders. Are we together? So Peter is writing to the elders to feed the flock of God which is among you. What did he say about that? Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Look at verse 2. Neither as being lords over God's heritage. Neither as being. So he's saying that as an elder who is over God's flock, you are not to lord over them. Yeah? You are not to lord. So the idea of this lord would be in a tyrannical form. Yeah? Are we together? So as elders, you feed the flock, neither be lords over God's heritage. So being an example to the flock. So an elder is one who shows example to the flocks. Is it is flocks or flock? Flock is plural already. Don't mind me, I pluralize the plural. Yeah? Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being an example to the flock. So an elder is one who what? Is an example to the flock. Who doesn't lord over God's heritage, but considers God's heritage as God's heritage? So the moment I begin to see all of you as my heritage, I am one who is to be scolded. Yeah? So I am one of the flock. We are all part of God's heritage. But there are people called elders who are to what? Feed the flock. He now says, but being an example to the flock. So an elder shows an example to the flock. Now, what? Now look at it very well. The first thing he said about the elders to the flock is what? Feed. Yeah? The second thing he said is what? Being an example. Or the third thing. So it means that an elder has the responsibility of feeding and being an example. Is that true? So an elder is one who feeds and is an example to the flock. Look at verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not. So it means that there's a responsibility given to shepherds by the chief shepherd. Who is the chief shepherd? Jesus. Who are the flock of this chief shepherd? Beautiful. So you and I are God's heritage, really means we are God's flock. But there are people who are elders amongst God's flock. Now, it is, let me say this. God blesses men through men. God, whatever God has to or will do on earth, he will do it through a man. Whatever God will do to men, for men, he will do it through a man. Even in the forgiveness of sins, we see Jesus as a man. Whatever God will do on earth, for men to men, it will be through men. So amongst the flock, there are those who are elders. So there are those who are flock, that are part of the flock, but they are elders. Look at Acts 15:22. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church. See what Luke makes us see here. So he says, then pleased it the apostles and the elders with the whole church. Are the elders and apostles in this verse part of the whole church? Are we here? Are the elders and apostles in this verse part of the whole church? But what did Luke say? Then pleased it the apostles, the elders, and the whole church to send chosen men of their own company. So, if God wants to take care of you as his heritage, who will God use? Men that are part of his heritage. Are we together? So, God takes care of you through men, yeah, that have oversight over you. What did First Peter call them? Elders. Are we together? So, who is responsible for feeding the sheep? Elders. Now, let me ask a tricky question. Is God responsible for feeding the sheep? Beautiful. So that question can have two answers, yes and no. Is God responsible for feeding the sheep? Yes and no. Yes, in the fact that God is responsible for feeding us through elders. No, in the fact that God will not feed you directly. It is through men. Are we together? Yes. Beautiful. Yeah? So, this is a very important thing we need to take note of. So, it means that God's gift is man to men. I'll say it better. God's gift to men is the gift of men. Look at 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. God's gift to men is the gift of men. 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. Look at what Paul tells Timothy. And the things that thou hast heard of me amongst many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Take note of this. Who is talking here? Paul. Is Paul an elder? Beautiful. Who is Paul talking to? Is Timothy an elder? He has to be. Why? Because he says, take the things thou hast heard of me amongst many witnesses, commit to what? Faithful men. So an elder is one who commits doctrine to faithful men. So it means that as an elder, in communicating or committing doctrine to faithful men, you are building elders. Are we here? Yeah, so in communicating faithful things to faithful men, you are building faithful men who will become elders to other God's flock. Yeah, so you see, God's gift to men is men. Paul taught Timothy. Timothy was to teach other faithful men. In Timothy teaching other faithful men, what did he say? So that they will be able to teach others also. Yeah, so we have elders teaching people so that they can teach other people, for other people to teach other people. That is how God's word will spread in the land. So whatever God wants to do on the earth, he will do it through men. Difference between myself and so many other people is that I have submitted myself to be used by God. Are we together? Are we together? Look at 1 Timothy. Look at John 21. John 21, 15 to 17. Look at John 21, 15. It says, when they are dying, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, now, in this dining room, was the only Peter that was there? Was the only Peter that was there? So if you backtrack, it was the only Peter. But what did Jesus say to Peter? He says, thou art Simon, son of Jonah. What you see, Simon bar Jonah. Yeah? Simon, son of Jonas. Lovest thou me more than this? He said unto him, yes, Lord. Thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lamb. What did Jesus ask Peter? Do you love me? What did Jesus say? If you love me, you feed my lamb. Did he say, Peter, you feed your lamb? So it means that even though we have an elder in God's palace, you are not my lamb. Right? You are God's heritage. Yeah? What did Jesus say to Peter? Yeah? In this verse, he says, if you love me, feed my lamb. Look at verse 16. He said unto him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, you Lord. This is the same Peter that denied him how many times? Three times. The same Peter Jesus asked three times. Do you love me? That is to show you that God uses men who are flawed to have oversight over his flock. Did you get what I just said? Yeah, you see, looking for a perfect man, you might never find. Looking for a man who has no error, you might never find. But the one who has no error, Jesus Christ, has committed a great commission to men who are full of flaws. It is your responsibility to either see that man as a man full of God's grace or a man full of flaws of the earth. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'll say that again. God uses imperfect men for his perfect will. God uses imperfect men for his perfect will. Simon was one who denied Jesus three times. Look at verse 17. He said unto him the third time, three times, Simon bar Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved. Jesus, what is even wrong with you? You're asking me three times. Am I a baby? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." What did Jesus say again? "Feed my sheep." Now, where did we read first in today's meeting? 1 Peter chapter 5. Who wrote the book of Peter? Peter. So was it the same person Jesus spoke to that he spoke to, that Peter was the same person talking in 1 Peter? Yeah? So Peter, through this, was able to say, as an elder, you are to feed. Are we together? So it means that even if Judas, who betrayed Jesus, came back, he will be useful. You know, when you see, we've taught that several in church, when you see that there was a prophecy that said one will deny Jesus, yeah, it didn't say Judas. What did Judas do? Judas was the one that fit into the prophecy. No prophecy mentioned his name. But the action was going to be done. What did Judas do? He submitted himself to be used to do that. Now, did Peter deny Jesus? How many times? Did Jesus still tell the same Peter, feed? Why didn't, look at this, why didn't Jesus look at the old disciples he was with and said, "All of you, feed my lamb"? So it means out of the 12, there was a one that God gave that responsibility, feed. Even though all of them attended the 40 days teaching. Are we here? When they finished, when the day of Pentecost had come and they finished doing tongues and interpretation, who was the man that stood up to explain what they were doing? How did Peter know about that? He attended the 40 days teaching of Jesus. In attending the 40 days teaching of Jesus, even though all of them knew what Jesus said, Peter was the one that Jesus gave the responsibility to lead. So to be a mistake or to be a problem, if you think that the person who is leading you in the gospel or as Christians, you are because you can do tongue interpretation, all of you are equal. Now, are you equal? Yes. But in responsibilities, are you equal? No. So Jesus said, "If you love me, feed my sheep." Yeah? So Jesus was speaking to men concerning other men. Sheep there, is he blah 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 she? Are you any who? I don't know the song, really. I don't know what I was singing, though. But the sheep there, is this sheep in the bush? People. So it means that sometimes you can even look at somebody and someone that just annoying, just say you're a sheep. In the real sense. But you know, sheep and goat are family. Yeah, so you see, Ephesians chapter 4. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth. Look at verse 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Yeah, so he descended, he ascended. What is his ascension? His ascension is his descension into our hearts. Are we together? Yeah, so he ascended to fill all things. There will be about the saints. So his ascension is really his descension into your heart, into my heart. Now see what he says in verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. If you look at the Greek manuscript of that verse, the word there, some, is only used once. And he gave some apostles. The only word, the only some that is in this verse is this some. Yes, and look at this. Yeah? So this word there, some, is the only some that is in the original manuscript. Yeah, and the meaning of that word there, some, is not talking about a part of a portion, but it's a word that means truly and certainly. Are we following this morning? Yeah, so a good way to read that would be, and he gave certainly apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Are we together? This is what you call the ministry gift. Now, look at how you know he's speaking about one and the same thing. He said he gave gifts unto men. How do you know he's speaking about one and the same? Look at verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints. So it means that the responsibility of apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist is all for one thing. Perfecting of the saints. How do you know prophets today? Those that call account numbers, right? You know you can do without prophesying about the next president. Because it's not your prophecy that will make the next president the next president. Yeah, is how well the president can convince the flock. Or you can convince the ballot boxes. There must be a conviction somewhere. Or a convincing somewhere. Yeah, so it means that all the apostles, everything, it is for one thing. The perfecting of the saints. For one thing again, the work of ministry. For one thing again, they're the final of the body of Christ. Why? Verse 13. till we all come into the unity of faith. So it means that as Christians, everybody is to say one thing about the knowledge of the Son of God. We all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Look at verse 14. So that we henceforth be not children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Yeah? So that we will not be as children being tossed left and right by various winds of doctrine. So there's a doctrine we are to stick with. It is the doctrine of the apostles. Are we here this morning? Yeah? But we have those who are amongst us who will have rule over us. In their having rule over us, it actually really means that what? They feed the flock and show an example to the flock. Yeah? So the rule of Peter is not a rule of Lord, he told us, not lording it over them, but by an example, being an example. Are we here this morning? Beautiful. Please follow attentively. Yeah? Follow attentively. Now, let's pay attention to a few men that God used, and let's see what God did through them. Look at Acts 19, verse 7. Acts 19, verse 7. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 8, let's read to verse 10. Who do you think was being spoken about here? Paul. Yeah? So Paul, he went into the synagogue. If you backtrack to the story, you realize it's Paul. Look at verse 1. And it came to pass, yeah, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. Yeah, so the conversation is really about Apollos and Paul. But go back to verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months. Who was that person that spake boldly for 3 months? Paul. Yeah, what was he doing? Disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? His resurrection. So what was Paul teaching? He was teaching concerning the what? Resurrection. And he was disputing and what? Persuading. Yeah, that what they're disputing actually speaks about arguing. Yeah? Are we together? Look at what happened in verse 9. But when divers were hardened, what does it mean? Among the people he was teaching, there were some who their hearts were hardened. And believed not, but they spake evil of that way before the multitude. He departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of Tyrannus. The first time he got there, how many months did he teach for? 3 months. What did he do when their hearts were hardened? He picked the disciples and took them to the school of one Tyrannus. What was he doing? He now continued his teaching. For how long? Look at verse 10. And this continued by the space of 2 years. So that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of God, both Jew and Greek. So Paul made it his responsibility that even though the first people he met, their hearts were hardened, he took out a few. He trained them more. Yeah? So that they can train others. The only way the word was heard by Jew and Greek in that city was because of the people that Paul took out. Are we together? So Paul, for 2 years, every day, they were meeting. You say, who said that? Paul, for 2 years. You see, We have lackadaisical Christianity nowadays. You come to church, pastor is talking, he has not even spoken 15 minutes, you are sleeping. He has not spoken 20 minutes, you are already sleeping. Once a week, oh. Paul, they met for 2 years every day. Every day. Never forget that. Every day. I'm showing us something. So Paul, after teaching for 3 months, he began to teach, relocated their meeting center, and taught for another 2 years. Look at the next chapter, chapter 20, verse 17. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. So will he be among those people that he taught, that he sent to Ephesus? Will he be among the people he taught? Yeah. So the people that he taught, so it means that the people that he taught in the school of Tyrannus will be the ones he sent to Miletus. What would they go to Miletus to go and do? To go and preach. In preaching, if they establish a local church, who will be the elders of the church? The people that Paul sent. Look at verse 31. Paul had a minister's conference, you know, amongst ministers. Look at verse 31. Please follow attentively. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn you night and day with tears. Hello? Someone that said, for 2 years. The first time we said 2 years. Look at this verse. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. So Paul was preaching every day, daily. Are we here? Are we here? Paul was preaching what? Daily. What was he doing? Warning night and day. So never forget. Everybody look at me. Look at me. Everybody look at me. Say to yourself, Paul was teaching daily. No, say it. Say it. Let it be your conviction. Paul was teaching daily. Pastor can teach daily. I can attend daily. Okay. So Paul was teaching daily. Look at verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance amongst all them which are sanctified. Verse 33. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Look at this. Paul taught for 3 years daily, and yet he could make a testimony. I have coveted no man's silver, gold, or apparel. What does it mean? Paul could boast of 3 years without calling for seed. Are we together? Are we together? Did Paul have needs of silver, gold, and apparel? Beautiful. You are following. Did Paul covet people's property? No. So, did Paul have needs? How did Paul meet his needs? Look at verse 34. Yea, you yourselves, you know that these hands administered to my needs and necessities and to them that were with me. Did Paul have needs? Did Paul have needs? Did Paul have urgent needs? How did he meet his needs? By his hands. What does work with his hand do? He labored with his hands. He did a handy job. What did Paul say? He says, I have coveted for 3 years. I stayed here. I preached God's word every day, but I coveted no man's silver or gold. And the testimony that is running in our mouths this day. How did Paul meet his needs? He labored with his hands, having ministered to his necessities. And to them, so Paul did not just work for his needs. He worked for the needs of others around him. Are we here? So Paul labored with his hands for the needs of his needs and for the needs of those around him. Look at verse 35. I have showed you all things. That word there, show, is a word that means to put forth in front of people by an example. Yeah, the word there, show, means I put it evidently in front of you. What is it showing? How that by laboring, ye ought to support the weak. So it means that in Paul walking with his hand, he was teaching them an example. Are we here? When Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, an elder is one to feed the flock and to be an example. So it means that when you have an elder, which is your pastor really, what it really means is that you listen to him in his doctrine and his conduct. Because his conduct should be an example to you. What did Paul say? He says, I labor with my hands. He says, I have shown you all these things. I've given you an example. How that by my laboring with my hands, ye ought to support the weak. Who are the weak they are to support? Will it be those that don't have or those who might be sick? If Paul is saying, I'm giving you an example to go and walk, it means that if you are poor, what is Paul saying to you? Go and walk. So he can't be saying, do you understand what I'm trying to say? He can't be saying, I'm giving you an example. I'm giving you an example. All of you are watching me. I'm giving you an example so you can support the poor. No, everybody here is a saint. What is Paul doing? He's giving an example to the saints. In giving an example, you meet your needs. Paul met his needs and met the needs of those around him. Now, is Paul saying don't give to the poor? No. But what he's saying to support the weak, is he really poor or those who cannot walk? Those who cannot walk. An and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than receive. Hallelujah. The word there, blessed, is not saying the more you give, the more you have more blessing. No. Yeah, we've done a teaching on give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, press down, shake it together. It's not about money at all. Yeah? So, it is more blessed to give. Is there any portion of scripture that shows that Jesus made this statement? You won't find it. So, what is Paul doing? Paul is summarizing Jesus' teaching on giving as it is more blessed to give than to receive. The word they're blessed is the word Makarios. It is more fortunate to give than receive. Why will he say that? For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that he was poor, how that he was rich, he became poor. How did he become poor? By giving himself. You see, it's more fortunate to give than to receive. In that example of Jesus giving himself, we have an example. Paul gave an example. Paul put an example. That laboring with his hand is not figure of speech. Oh. So, can we say that Paul taught every day and walked every day? Are we here? Are we here? Can we say that Paul taught every day and walked every day? So that means Paul gave an example for the minister to walk. Yeah? So, Paul had needs. Yes? Did he? How did Paul meet his needs? By laboring with his hands. Yeah? So, a minister is one who is sold out to the gospel and given to the marketplace. Did you hear that? A minister, by the example of Paul, is one who is sold out to the gospel and is giving himself to the marketplace. What does marketplace really mean? He labors with his hands. How do we know that? Paul gives a minister an example. Are we together? Look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 10. 10 to 12. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Because these are reality. 1, 2, 3, go. All of you have to first read it before you have to read it in your mind before. Let's say it together. 1, 2, 3, go. Look at verse 11. Hold on. Was Paul a man that was hungry? Was Paul a man that went through hunger? What did Paul say? Even till now, as I talk, that's what we say in Nigeria, as I am speaking at the moment. Somebody help me finish. He said, hunger the mama me. Yeah, as I talk right now. Yeah, hunger, that's what those of us that are not from Nigeria here. Yeah. As I talk, hunger they flog me. And thirsty and are naked. What is naked there? He doesn't have too much clothes to change. People of God. Was he saying Paul was naked? It can't be that. You see, the Bible is full of figures of speech from chapter 1 of Genesis to Revelation. Yeah. In fact, we have more figures of speech than literals. Yeah. Even unto this present hour, I am naked. He's not saying we should go. He wasn't doing that our grandmother used to do. If you offend your mother will remove all her clothes in the bedroom. You suck me. Those are things that should not be found among Christians. It's Mama Lawos, Papa Lawos that do those things. Yeah? Look at it. And are buffeted. Yeah? And have no certain dwelling place. House rent. Sorry. I want to be sure that it's still online. Yeah? Look at verse 12. And labor, working with our what? Look at it. Was Paul hungry? Did he have accommodation problem? Yes. Did he have eating problem? Yes. Yeah, eating problem in the fact that there was no food. He was hungry. Yeah? Did he have clothes problem? Yes. He was naked. Naked, right? Naked. Yeah? What did he still say? We are laboring, working with our hands. So it means that the minister, Paul, was still laboring even though there was no surplus. You see, that means as a minister, you can still go into the marketplace and not make it. When I say this thing, you think I'm cursing. Paul was laboring and working with his hands, being reviled. We bless, being persecuted, we suffer for it. Paul is an example. Are we together? You know, some narratives we push, eh? It's interesting. We will see that in the Bible. So, even though he walked, the pain really wasn't something much to meet his needs. Is that the summary of what I just read? Even though he walked, the pain, but what did Paul still do? He still walked. What do you think his walking was doing? An elder is to show an example. So Paul was laboring. The income was not much, but he continued laboring with his hands. What was he doing? Being an example. Are we together? How together? Did Paul have an opportunity to convert people's silver and gold? He did. But after 3 years of teaching, what did he say? I have converted no man. Hallelujah. I have converted no man. Now, at this point in time, do you think that it would have been easy for Paul to just switch to the unction of seed sowing? Yes. Yes, now. It would have been easy. Ah, Jesus said, go and walk. I've been working no money. Do not muscle the feed, I feed the ox. What did he do? He kept doing it, being reviled, being persecuted, yeah, setting an example. What was Paul's work? Acts 18:1. Look at Acts 18:1. Some people, how many of you believe Paul was a lawyer here? Was a lawyer, right? Bible verse and scripture. How many of you believe Paul's name was Saul before? Paul's name was Saul, then was changed to Paul. Yeah? It's not in the Bible, right? It's not in the Bible, sir. It's not in the Bible. His name was never Saul. His name is Saul and Paul. Yeah? So his name is Saul. His name is Paul. Saul is Greek. Saul is Hebrew. Paul is Greek. It's just like Ayo and Joy. My name was Ayo, but when I met Jesus, my name changed to Joy. What are you saying? He just translated your name to English. Yeah, that's what happened to Paul. Yeah? Paul was a lawyer. No scripture to back that up. Yeah, no scripture to back that up. Look at Paul's walk. After these things, rather, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. Hold on. Where did we read before we came here? 1 Corinthians chapter 4. So the city that Paul was in, this is the narrative of that story. Is that true? So this is the narrative of what Paul did or how Paul got to Corinth. He left from Athens and came to Corinth. Verse 2. And found a certain Jew named Aquila. What did the Bible say? He found. When you mean he found, can that mean he was looking for? Yes? He found. So that means when Paul entered the city of Corinth, the first thing he was looking for was how his needs were met. Or, in the real sense, gospel was primary in his mind. But by the side of gospel, he was looking for, look at it, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla. So he met Aquila and Priscilla. Because the Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. So Paul came unto Aquila and Priscilla. Look at verse 3. And because he was of the same craft. He was of the same what? He was of the same what? So that means the craft, that means Aquila, Priscilla and Paul were colleagues. That's the word. Yeah? There's another word you can call it. When you're in the same business sphere. Eh? Partners, kind of. But you get the point. Business partners. Oh, no. That word might be. You shall get the point. Right? Eh? Contemporary. Okay. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them. So Paul chose where to abode based on the craft of the people he met. Did you see that? He found Aquila and Priscilla and realized they were of the same craft. What did Paul do? He abode with them. Look at it. And he abode with them and he wrought for their occupation. They were. So Paul was the tent maker. Right? Who's the tent maker? People that set up canopy. Yeah? So remember, where did Paul meet Aquila and Priscilla? Corinth. What did Paul go to Corinth for? Ministry. In looking forward or looking at ministry or looking having ministry at his goal, what did he look for beside? Where to stay? In looking for where to stay, what did he look for? Those that will be, what to do? Who said that? Yeah, what to do? So in looking for what to do, what did he find? What did he find? He found someone who had the same craft with him. Are we together? So Paul now explains properly the narrative of Jesus saying, go out into the streets and don't go with anything. What did that mean? You go out, don't go with anything, for where you go to, yes, people will meet your needs. But Paul now gives an example. What do? You look for where to craftily use your hand. Are we here? Are we here? Are we here? Look at verse 9. Look at verse 4. Then he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jew and the Greek. What is that? Ministry. So Paul was doing ministry. And he was doing what? Ministry to the handicrafts, I mean to the tent making. Was Paul a full-time minister? Yes. What do we call full-time minister today? Those that are ministering in reference to sin. Oga, is this the sin we are still doing? If we want to analyze the fact that the priest in the Old Testament, they were ministering in reference to sin. That was all their responsibility. Are we still doing ministry? How many of you here, you go and talk to somebody and you will take your sin to the altar and drop it? If you are still here, let me see you. So Paul was doing ministry and he was walking. Look at verse 9. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by the vision. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. Did the Lord scold Paul for walking? Did the Lord scold Paul for walking? Did the Lord scold Paul for walking? Yeah? So there's no scolding for Paul for walking. Look at verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. Look at verse 25. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So, Apollos mighty in the scriptures? Was he mighty in the scriptures? Yeah, but did he know sound doctrine? No, now look at verse 26. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto themselves, and they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Hold on. Who was Aquila and Priscilla? Tent makers. Yeah? At the time when they took Apollos to expound unto him, to teach him sound doctrine, were they still tent makers? What is that showing you? Ministry, if you do it very well, ministry should not affect laboring in the marketplace. Ministering doesn't stop labor in the marketplace. Altogether. So what is Luke teaching us here? He's teaching us really that as a minister, even though you are teaching on the people every day, yeah, do not neglect trade amongst men, for that is how money is made. Are we together? Who gives that example to the flock? Who is to give that example to the flock? The elder. Are we together? Look at verse 35. Acts 20, 35, sorry. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support. So when you are even laboring, you have two things in mind. How to meet your needs and how to give to others. Is that true? Yeah. When you are laboring in the marketplace, you have two things in mind. How to meet your needs and how to give to others. Yeah. So the apostolic teaching of God by the apostles in the scriptures is that the meeting of needs of the saints is done by other saints. Not mysteriously, right? Now, can you pray to God to meet your needs today? Can you have a need and pray to God to meet your needs? How will God meet it? Another person abounding to the riches of liberty in him. Can you pray to God to meet your needs today? Would money appear in your bank account or on your room? If you see money if you go out and come back and see money in your room and you spend it, you're a thief. And you see money and you don't inquire where that money came from. We are laughing. There's no explanation to it. Why? Money is a man-made thing. So money is on the earth. Are we together? Forget Nollywood, though. Let's put Nollywood aside, though. Eh? People bring money. And so when you, if you wake up in the morning, I just see a lot, 2 million naira in your account. If you touch that money, right? It's different if you're expecting someone to pay that money to you. All of a sudden. All of a sudden. And you come and share your testimony. Suddenly. What suddenly? You are a thief. The apostolic and doctrinal way of needs being met by God is not a mysterious kind of outside the air kind of thing. It is from men. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah. Look at Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply your needs. How? What was it teaching about? Yeah. By others abounding to the riches of liberality in them. Look at Ephesians 4:28. So we see that Paul, as an elder, gave an example by feeding the flock and walking in the marketplace. Ephesians 4:28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. Yeah? What does that mean? If you are known to be someone who is a thief, what do you do? Go and labor. Your laboring is not only your necessity that are in your mind. Look at what he says. Working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So it means that you're working in your place of work, you're laboring in the same market, selling ashoebi, selling material, selling fabric, doing business. Yeah, it's not just your needs you have in mind. There's the riches of liberality that you've received upon the resurrection. You are to abound towards that, to be a source of God meeting needs to others. In the church, we would always have those that have enough and those that don't have enough. We have those that don't have enough. We have those who don't have at all. Yeah? The elder, what's the work of the elder? To feed the sheep and show an example as to how money is made. What did Paul do even when money was not coming in frequently? He kept working. What was he doing? Showing an example. Hallelujah. 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 So can we say it is proper doctrine to teach that the saint is to work to meet his needs and not rely on the local church? Did you get that? As a saint, if your hand is working, your leg is working, yeah? What is the doctrinal way to meet your needs? So it means that the doctrinal way is not to rely on the local church. So when you start hearing people say things like, look at him, he has 20 million people sitting in the road to his church. He has not tied the road. Is it the government? Is it the federal government? See, the work of the church is not to tie road. If the church decides to do it, it is free willing. It's not commanded in scriptures. When people said an elder should feed the sheep or should feed the flock and be an example, did he add construct road? Are we here this morning? Now look at 1 Peter. Look at 1 Timothy, sorry. Or look at 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 9. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail. What is Paul saying to Thessalonians? You remember our labor and travail. What is labor and travail? Laboring night and day because we will not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of Christ. What does that mean? Paul is giving an example that he is not chargeable to the saints. What does that mean? Now, this is the crux of where we are going to. We're teaching about what giving is and giving to elders and giving to ministers is. I'm trying to lay a fundamental foundation to show us what the minister's angle should be. Yeah? So we've seen examples by the minister. So you might find yourself in a city tomorrow and you want to start a local church. The first thing you should look for after looking for space for venue is what? How to feed yourself. Else, you will be one who cannot make the testimony of Paul. I'm not chargeable unto any of you. You will not be able to make the testimony of Paul that says, I have converted no man, silver, gold, or apparel. Are we together? Look at Acts 4. See an example of Acts 4. Acts 4:36. Acts chapter 4, verse 36. And Joseph, yeah, who by the apostle was surnamed Barnabas. So, can we see this Pastor Barnabas or Elder Barnabas? Yes? Which is being interpreted as son of consolation, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, verse 34, 36, and 37. What did he do? Having land, he did what? So a minister. How did Joseph get the land? Is he an inheritance he received from Jesus' resurrection? Did Joseph get that land because he was in Christ? So it means that for him to have acquired that land, he was into the business of either land, or he did another business and bought a land. Or his father gave him. What did he do to the land? Having land, he sold it and he brought the money and laid it to the apostles' feet. Is that a good example of generosity? Is that sacrificial giving? Yeah? In the real sense, man, so some people can look at it from another angle. What if you had 50 lands? Okay? To sell your land and take the whole money is sacrificial. Eh? What did he do? He sold the land and took it to the apostles' feet. Look at 38. Look at verse 35. That's what I was looking for. Sorry. Okay. And they so it wasn't only Joseph that did that. Some other people did that. And they laid down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. So people sold their properties and brought it to the apostles' feet. And the apostles distributed it to those that had need. Are we together? Is that generosity? Is that sacrificial giving? Beautiful. Now look at 1 Timothy 5:17. Now remember, we've given instructions as to a minister. You labor with your hands. Yeah? Look at 1 Timothy 5. Let the elders that rule well. Who are the elders? From 1 Peter. Who are the elders? Those that are to feed the flock and show an example. From Ephesians chapter 4, who are the elders? Ministry gifts. Apostles. Prophets, those things we saw in Ephesians 4. Yeah? What did Paul now say to Timothy? Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Amen? Amen? That word there, counted worthy of double honor, counted worthy really means something that is befitting, to deem fit. Have we seen that an elder should labor with his hand? This instruction now is to the saints. Is that true? So, the elder should labor in his hand, with his hand, so that he can make testimonies of, I coveted nobody's silver. So that he can make testimony of what? I'm being an example to others. So he can make testimony of what? I am not chargeable unto any of you. What should the saint know? That he, even though he's working, should what? Be counted worthy of double honor. I'm going to explain that verse to you. Especially they that labor in word and doctrine. Who are those? Your pastors. Look at 1 Timothy 3:2 quickly. 1 Timothy 3:2. The word oversight. Two. A bishop then must be blameless, husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Dear saint, in this verse, how many of those things are about doctrine? Apt to teach. Is that true? Apt to teach is the only one about doctrine there. And the other one's about conduct. So, an elder is one who teaches doctrine and yet he pays double attention to his conduct. Look at how many things are about conduct there. Number one, blameless. Number two, husband of one wife. Number three, vigilant. Number four, sober. Number five, good behavior. Number six, good hospitality. Number seven, apt to teach. So, ratio 6-1. What did Peter say? An elder is one who is apt to teach in feeding the flock. He is an example. What is 1 Timothy saying? In six different forms. Go back to 1 Timothy 5. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Who are those? Your pastors. So he's saying, deem fit, or your pastor, or you should look at your pastor as one who is what? Who double honor is befitting. You know what Paul is teaching Timothy? He's saying that no matter the honor a saint gives to any other kind of relationship, for that man who labors in word and doctrine, he deserves two. Now, this is, who wrote Timothy? Paul. Who wrote Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6, verse 2? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your parents in the Lord. Honor thy father and thy mother. Who taught it? Paul. Who taught double honor? So it means that as a saint, in giving to your parents, father and mother, your man, the man that labors over you, that has an oversight over you, in reference to word and doctrine, deserves double honor. Are we here? Is he in the Bible? So it means that if you go for Christmas, for instance, yeah, or you go for Happy New Month, if you send Happy New Month to your mother, your biological mother and father, apostolic teaching teaches that. Paul never taught that your mother deserves double honor. Or your father deserves double honor. Who deserves double honor? Your pastor. Those that labor over you in word and doctrine. So it means that if you are giving something to your mother and your father, it's good. What did Paul teach about your pastor? Double honor. Are we here this morning? What must the pastor know? He is not chargeable to any of you. What is the saint to know? My pastor deserves double honor. You see that? Now, let's pay attention to a few more things. So, in a local church setting, when you have those who rule well and those who labor amongst you or above you in word and doctrine, what do? You honor God in their lives by giving to them. Let me show you something else again. Now, remember from Deuteronomy 26, we saw that the tithing was made for the pastors, the strangers, the widows, and things like that. Yeah, and we saw that the reason for the tithe was to honor God, but it was given to men. It was for men. So it means that in giving to God's men, yeah, you are honoring God. Who is spending what you are giving? Men or God? Men. Who deserves double honor? The one who labors over you, has an oversight over you in word and doctrine. What does the pastor know? He is to go to a place for the first time and look for how to be skilled with his hands. What must the saints know? The pastor that labors over him in... So you see, that's why I said something. When you see some people push the narrative of, you know, don't give to pastors, go and give, you are in disobedience to scriptures. Are we together? Now, all saints are to labor to give others and meet their needs. Does that include the pastor? Yes! What must the saint also know? To recognize those who are ruling above them, in ruling, in taking care of them, in reference to what? Sound doctrine. Yet, and realize that they are deserving of double honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, let me now ask a question. Is the pastor supposed to charge people or demand double honor? You get it? Am I supposed to come here and say, you people, eh, you're not even giving me double honor? Before I walk into here, you must transfer money to my account. No, I'm not taking again. I tried. That would be hilarious, you know. Yeah. So who is to know or who is to have at the back of the mind that the pastor deserves double honor? Is it the pastor or the saints? The saints. So the saints are to know that the pastor deserves double honor. Who are those? Those who labor over you. Remember, we already established that generosity is a teaching that shows that every saint has the ability to give. Hold on. I'm teaching us something. Look at Galatians 6. Galatians 6. Galatians 6, 6. Galatians 6, 6. Let's read that together. 1, 2, 3, go. Please, if you have your Bible, do you want to check if that's your Bible? Before you say I gave to Brother Stephen to project it. Let him, right now, who are the him? All of you. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him. Who is that second him? It's not all of you. Who is the first him? Say me. Uh-huh. So now say you. If you say you, I'll catch you here. Yeah? So when I say you, I say you should say me. Yeah? So say you. Uh-huh, beautiful. Yeah. So who is the first him? Personalize me. Who let you that is taught in the word communicate unto him? Who is the second him? Yeah. Now you is not me. Yeah, communicate unto the teacher that teacheth in all good things. Look at verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, thou shall he reap. Now hold on, go back to verse 6. That's where we are. That word there, communicate, is a word that means koinonia. Yes, we're going from that word koinonia. And it means to make oneself a partner with another. Yeah, I'll say it again. That word there, communicate, is a word from the word koinonia. Yeah, K-O-I-N-O-N-A. Communicate is a word that means to make yourself a partner with somebody else. To partner with somebody else. So, who wrote the book of Galatians? Paul. Who is he writing to? The saints in Galatia. Right? What did he say to them? Okay, people, saints. Let those of you who are taught well in the word communicate. Yeah? Unto him that teacheth. So, in honor to God's, in honor of God and his plan, we see ourselves giving to those who labor amongst us because we are being in partnership with them. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? So, it means that when you want to respond to the riches of God's word you hear from your pastor, how do you communicate back to him? You communicate with your material things. You see, Nowadays, we invite somebody. Person finished sweating everything. He came from this side, not even giving him some money. He say, you know, this man of God has been a blessing to us. You know, he has been a mighty blessing. You know, for him, what do we do? Let us point our hands toward him. You know, virtue has left. It's you, virtue will leave. It's you, virtue will leave. You know, virtue has is you. Virtue has left him. You know, let's pray that. No, what did Paul say? Let you, who is taught by him, you communicate to him. You be in partnership with him. With what? Your material things. In giving your material things, what should you have at the back of your mind? Double honor. Altogether, it is these few verses. That's why I say it's going to take us about 2-3 services to explain this. It is this teaching that makes some pastors not read the other part of Paul where he labored with his hand and hold on to this. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? It is because of the heart of men. They will read where Paul said he labored night and day. They won't see it. No. That's in the past. But their favorite verse is 1 Timothy 5, Galatians 6. So you see there's a balance. What is the balance? The pastor who labors and has oversight over you, teaching you in word and doctrine, should know that he is a man that is to feed God's heritage. In feeding God's heritage, he should know he is a man who is to lay example to God's heritage. In doing that, God's heritage in return now realizes that he is a man that is laboring over them and deems it fit to be given a double honor. The pastor must know his stand. The saints must know their stands. Hallelujah. So, let's use gospel as an example. Yeah? I, as the pastor that has oversight over God's heritage, I lead by example by working in the marketplace. Paul did not have an office where he was doing counseling every day. Yet, the same Paul who worked with his hand, is it not the same Paul that has told those two places now? The elder deserves double honor. Did Paul not labor? So it means that it's a place where Paul is an example, and he taught by doctrine that what? The saint is to hold in high esteem those who labor over them. So that the pastor also is laboring so that what? He will not be chargeable to any of you. You know, I saw someone did say something about how somebody gave him money and he prophesied over the person's life, and the prophecies he said came to pass. Let me ask a question. Can a pastor prophesy over your life and it come to pass? You must say yes. What influenced the prophecy that man gave in that time? The money! It is very unfair for you to now be saying, you know, the moment I start saying things like this, imagine I woke up this morning and I just came, somebody blessed me with 1 million naira last week Monday, and I said before Friday, everything will happen. For me to come and share that testimony, I'm speaking to your subconscious. I might know, I might not know. I might be sincere, I might not be sincere. But no matter what, I'm speaking to your subconscious. I'm telling you without saying that you can give to me and provoke me. Do you understand? Yeah. What is Paul teaching? Oga, that's why I always say something for myself personally. I try as possible to be careful how I pray for people when they gift me. Else, I will subconsciously start teaching you seed sowing. Did you hear that? If I'm not careful how I pray for you when you gift me, I will be subconsciously teaching you seed sowing. Are we together? What is the pastor to do? The pastor is one who is to labor in the marketplace. The saint is to know that the labor in the marketplace are labor in doctrine. The saint is to know that, even though my pastor is working or not working, it is instructional as a disciple by the apostles to give the one who labors over me. But you who labors, if you're not careful, there's some testimonies you share, you are saying a lot without knowing. The first man came to me on Monday. He gave me 1 million. I said before Friday. The other one came, I said, I give you 24 hours. What am I saying to you? In your mind, you have a challenge. Everybody has challenge. The first thing you're looking for is how to give pastor your own so that pastor can provoke. If you're not now careful, you're not looking for how to dangerously give pastor. It will now shock you. Those two work, you only not work. You now start blaming God. money. So in honoring God, we see that, you know, you are to honor the men God uses. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Corinthians 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 4. This is the same Macedonian churches. Yeah? He says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. That means the Macedonian churches, they were in deep poverty. Yet they were wishing with all their might that what? The apostles and the saints should receive their gift. Yeah? And take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the minister is not to use tactics to get partners. Are you together? Yeah? Look at it. Remember I said something. That word there, communicate, means to what? To partner with somebody else. Is that true? Yeah. So as a saint, you have to know that you have to partner with your material things, with your pastor. Who is to know that? The pastor or the saint? The saint. What is the saint to do? The saint is to know that, oh, this man labors over me. This is a gift I give to him. Yeah? What must the pastor not do? Pastor must not do that. Ah, you know I have needs. You know we have needs. I want 10 people who will join covenant partnership. They're not the same, you know. They're different things. If I'm the one that comes and says, I need 10 people here, who God will minister to your heart? I'm the God minister to your heart already. To join my covenant group of partners. Partner 100. Oh, sorry. Why do people look at yourself like that? Sorry, let me use another number. Partner 120. Partner 120. What does 120 mean? You are in Nigeria, you ask it for dollars. People will give $120 every month. Can the saint decide in his heart to partner with his pastor and the local church with $120 every month? The saint should, according as you prosper. Is the pastor to ask for it? Are we together? So your pastor is one who has an oversight over you, feeding God's flock, yeah, and giving you an example of labor in the marketplace so that he can boldly say, I have coveted no man's silver. I am chargeable not unto any of you. Hallelujah. Look at Philippians. Look at Acts 16:12. Quickly. Let's round up here. Acts 16:12. Let's read this verse together. 1, 2, 3, go. Hold on. When we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the churches of... So is Philippi one of the churches in Macedonia? Did you just see that? And from thence to Philippi. Philippi is one of the chief cities of that part of Macedonia. So it means that when Paul wrote to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and he said the church, grace of God upon the churches of Macedonia, it includes Philippians. Yeah? So it includes Philippians. So it means that when Paul was teaching about the grace of God on the churches of Macedonia, he was speaking about the church of Philippi. So he says, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of the part of Macedonia and the colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. Look at Philippians 4 now. Let's see Philippians 4 now. Philippians 4 verse 15. Who asked you to go to verse 19? Now, ye Philippians, can you put into bracket part of the cities of Macedonia? Now, you Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Who are the ye only? Philippians. Where was Philippians? A part of the churches of Macedonia that were in abject poverty. So when he says, no church communicated with me, that word communicated is what? Partnership. That is giving from your material possession. Are we together? So there's a place of prayer for your pastor, which in the entire New Testament books, the highest prayer that is consistent, that has more frequency, is the prayer for your pastor. Let me say it this way. The prayer for your pastor in the epistles is more than the prayer for yourself. Let me say it this way. The giving to your pastor in the epistles is double honor. What did Paul say to them? No church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Now, that verse, a lot of people mistake that verse. They think the Philippians did giving and they also did receiving. Who did the receiving? Paul! So there's nothing so ambiguous in that verse. Paul is not saying you people, you gave and you received. What is Paul saying? You gave, I received. So, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Verse 16. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once again and again unto my necessity. So Paul was not with them, yet they recognized that he deserves double honor and sent money to him. Whose hand did they send the money to? Epaphroditus, verse 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Verse 18. But I have all and abound. Yeah, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus. So the Philippian church, now at this point when Paul was writing this letter, where was he? He was in the prison. When he was in the prison, will he be doing tent making? So what happened? He was in the prison, not doing tent making. The Philippians thought it fit to send Epaphroditus with material gifts to Paul. You see, when from you, a sweet sermon. He now says in verse 19, my God shall supply your needs according to his riches in glory. If you didn't listen to Wednesday's teaching, you might want to lay your hands on that. Riches to in glory is the riches of liberality, which is the riches of his grace, riches of his mercy that you've received. When he says, according to his riches in glory, it is according to the riches of liberality in other things. So, did Paul want the Philippians' needs to be met? Are we here? Did Paul want the Philippians' needs to be met? How did he expect it to be met? By other saints, abandoning to the riches of liberty in them to give to them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, were Philippians in deep poverty? Yes. Were they one of Paul's greatest supports? Let me ask that again. Were Philippians in deep poverty? Were they, what did Paul say? No other church communicated with me as you all. So, they were in deep. That means if you put all the churches at the time together, Philippians were not the richest. But they were the richest. In reference to what? Liberality. You are getting it. Are we together? Are we together? So the Philippians were among the people in deep poverty. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 2. Yet they were among the richest in liberality. Are we together? Let's end in Luke 8 verse 2. Oh, no, after that we'll end somewhere else again. 1 Timothy 6. Luke 8 verse 2. Even Paul said finally in chapter 4, he still wrote two chapters after. Who am I? He's our father now. The Bible says upon him are the, you know, the foundation which we are built upon. Who am I? I can't do less. Look at Luke 8 verse 2. And a certain woman which had been healed of evil spirit. Glory to God. Cannot be evil spirit. Come against that Yoruba tongue. Yeah, I'm from Zion. Zion. Let me catch my breath. I'll let you together. Because and certain woman which had been healed of evil spirits. Yeah. And infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, only you. Ooh. Verse 3. And Joanna, the wife of Chuza. That looks like an Igbo name. Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their what? What does substance mean? It's not virtue. Eh? Their material possession. What did they do? They ministered unto who? Jesus. Are we together? We'll look at something on Wednesday. Let's end in 1 Timothy chapter. Is that what I said? 1 Timothy 6. Yeah, let's go there. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5. Yes. Please, let's end here. Let's end here. Look at verse 5 carefully. Perverse disputings of men. Let me not forget, please. Workers, wait behind after today's teaching. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt mind, destitute of the truth. What did he now say next? Supposing that gain is godliness. What did Paul say to Timothy? From such withdraw thyself. What is he saying? Anybody that teaches that because you are serving God, you will increase materially and financially. What did Paul call it? Perverse disputing of men of corrupt mind. What did Paul say you should do to such people? You withdraw yourself. You withdraw yourself. Let me see it again. Supposing, that is teaching or thinking, that gain is godliness. What does that mean? Yeah? God said you should go to Abia State. You remain in Abuja. You went to Abia for 3 months. you're not getting much money. You came back to Abuja. In 1 month, you were able to buy your house and build an estate. What are you doing? You are in disobedience to God's instruction. Why are you in Abuja? You are one who thinks that gain is godliness. What did Paul ask us to do? We withdraw ourselves from them. Did you hear that? So it says that because you are godly, you are doing the work of God. Did we see a scripture that says Paul was hungry? We saw two. 1 Corinthians 4. We saw Philippians 4. That's why he now says, I can do all these things through Christ that strengthens me. Look at verse 6, where we're going to end. Let's read together verse 6. 1, 2, 3, go. So what is the greatest gain for the believer? Godliness with contentment. What does the world teach? When you are godly, more will come. What does the Bible teach? Godliness with contentment is great gain. Yeah. So the pastor is to know that godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, do we see an example of that in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10 to 12? Where Paul said he was hungry, yet he kept laboring. What kept him from quitting? Godliness with contentment. That is gain to the saints. When he was speaking to the Philippians, what did he say in Philippians chapter 4, verse 10? I've learned how to abound and abase. I've learned how to suffer and be in need. I've learned how to have plenty and have nothing. Yet, God, I can do all these things through Christ that strengthens me. What is the strength that Paul is really talking about? Godliness with contentment is great gain. What do we teach? Godliness with covetousness is great gain. Did you get that? What does an average person teach? Godliness. They will not call it covetousness. Godliness with covetousness is great gain. But if you are one who practices that, you know what will happen? You will not be able to boast as Paul, who says that what? I have coveted no man's silver or no man's gold. I am not chargeable to any of you. And yet, the same Paul still taught, your man who labors over you as an elder, who is doing his work well, deserves double honor. Are we together? So it is, we're going to continue on Wednesday. It is well spelled out in scriptures how we give to the men who labor over us. So it is not just stretching your hand to pray. Are we together? You stretch forth your material possessions also. But I must know that in my teaching God's word, I'm not expecting it. There's a difference. Right? There's a difference. In my teaching you of God's word. Why? Because there's a tendency for me to what? Misplace priorities. I'm going to have a different focus. And I'm going to say what God did not send me to say. I will bless this morning. So it is your, now remember, as you propose in your heart, 2 Corinthians 9, we'll continue on. Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost for a few more seconds. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Just